This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Rod Hanners. Rod is the interim CEO at the Keck Medicine of USC, a magnificent university health system, Keck Medicine. Rod, we're going to talk to you about what you're seeing with COVID currently, how quickly vaccines might make a difference, how could systems support their healthcare workers now through this period of time and generally, and then also, where do you see USC being magnificent, already a magnificent lead institution? Where do you see it being magnificent in several years from now? Rod, let me start by asking you to take a moment to introduce yourself.
Sure. Rod Hanners, interim CEO here at Keck Medicine of USC. I've been at USC here at Keck for about 5 years. Prior to that, I was at Children's Hospital Los Angeles for 10 years, and prior to that was Kaiser Permanente.
And take a moment and tell us sort of what you're seeing with COVID currently in Southern California, and how quickly do you think that vaccines will have an impact on starting to curb this pandemic?
Yeah, obviously a very good question, Scott. You know, what we're seeing is what we're seeing, I think, across the nation. And we were hoping that we wouldn't, since we've been through what we've already been through. But, you know, the escalation of cases, both positivity rates are on the rise, as folks should probably be very familiar with. But also the admissions. I mean, we're seeing unprecedented admissions now. So those are on the rise as well. Across the LA basin, you know, when I talk to my peer hospitals, most have doubled or tripled their COVID volumes from just 2-3 weeks ago.
Is there any softening in sight with those volumes, or is it really very hard at this moment to see? I mean, I remember talking to people this summer in Florida and Texas where it was going up and they couldn't really see the endpoint yet. And then, of course, within a few weeks, it did start to move in the right direction. Is there any sense of that? Are you still seeing the admissions just increase?
Yeah, they're going up
systematically.
Yeah, Scott, they're going up day in and day out. So there has been no leveling. It's just been on the rise, and we're hoping for the peak to hit here pretty soon and to go back down. But a lot of worry with the holidays coming up as well on what that might contribute. But we're not seeing this level off at the current stage.
Thank you. And how, I mean, obviously, vaccines can't make a difference for a while, so they're not going to necessarily help with this surge unless the surge goes for 2 more months. But let's hope it doesn't. But at what point do you start to see vaccines starting to have an impact on the virus and what we're all seeing?
Yeah, that's the question everybody's raising across the country. And, you know, we've stood up a vaccine group here, did it about 2 months ago to try to get out in front, and it's served us very well. But, you know, we're limited supply, right? Hopefully both Pfizer and Moderna's product gets through the EUA process, and we can, at the middle of December, hopefully have that approval through the FDA. And then it's waiting for shipments. And, you know, I know the CDC, working with many of the state Department of Public Health, not unlike California, are really looking at the prioritization scheme, because they recognize in the early phases that there's going to be limitations. And so I think most health centers across the country, not unlike ourselves and working with our university, is trying to look within those guidelines and prioritize where folks are going to get, you know, who are going to be first in line, if you will. And so a lot of guidance coming out, but even within that guidance, there are decisions that health systems need to make relative to who's first in line. And so we're trying to do that collectively with our peers in the area here, certainly with LA County Hospital, as well as with Children's Hospital Los Angeles, to see if we can come up with an algorithm. But to your question, you know, I don't see it having a meaningful impact in the short run, but I think we're all hoping in the long run it will. I think I was reading yesterday that there's those that are predicting that by June, everybody that wants the vaccine should have access to the vaccine, should have had access to the vaccine. So in the early stages, we've got to just keep vigilant on the practices that we know have worked throughout this whole COVID pandemic period.
And so if you're looking at June for everybody, which is not everybody, but that might mean 150 million, 170 million out of 330 million, is it some number short of that, where of course we don't get to what they all talk about in the popular press as herd immunity, but to where there's less people to spread the disease, the virus? Is it if we get to 50 million, you know, vaccinated by January, and of course it takes another month to have the people in January to actually be vaccinated.
Right.
That means by the end of February, we might have in total 40, 50 million people vaccinated. Is that likely to have a serious impact on spread, because you'll have taken 50, 60 million people, a sixth of the population or so, out of the pool to spread this? Will that, do they show that having a serious impact or not really, not necessarily?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're all anticipating that it will. I think it should, if the efficacy is what is being purported, you know, in the ads coming out, right, early between the scientists really getting into the data. But we're all hoping that it's going to have a material impact. You know, fewer folks, if the vaccine works, fewer folks getting the virus, and fewer folks then having at least enough of a viral load that they're going to be transmitting it to others. So, well, we're hoping that that's the case. I know that's the big bet, right, that we're all putting on it, but it's going to take time. You know, I think the distribution,
right,
the administration, yeah.
So we think about it, even with Moderna and Pfizer, if we get 20 million people vaccinated in December, which is, you know, very tight time frame for people to get there, those people come out of the pool, feel like infect people or be infected by the end of January, another 30, 40 million in January if we're optimistic. The people that are vaccinated in December will help a great deal with our healthcare workers, which is so important, and essential workers. But it won't yet be a big enough amount of people to seriously reduce more spread. But hopefully by the end of February, we'll start to see a difference where we really start to see positivity rates fall in this country on a prolonged, sustainable basis. Because at that point, 30, 50 million people will have had the vaccines taken and be useful, we hope. I'm just trying to think through timelines. Rod, let me ask you a couple more questions. What are you doing now? I mean, such a difficult situation for healthcare workers. It's almost like in the old days, people signed up for the military but thought they were in periods of peacetime, might not end up actually in war, but knew there was a possibility. Healthcare workers really didn't sign up for war and have ended up sort of like putting themselves at risk here. I think 1,000 healthcare workers have died from the virus, you know, a little bit more than the percentage of the regular population, and you know, a very scary time. How do you take care of your healthcare workers morale-wise, physically-wise during this period of time, or try the best you can?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it's multifaceted, and I think it begins with what's your true north, you know, around this. Our true north from the very get-go has been to protect our staff and our faculty, and also our visitors and our patients, clearly. But, you know, so we didn't pinch pennies, you know, when PPE was going up at tenfold. We worked very hard to make sure that we had the protective equipment available for our staffs. And, you know, we went to universal masking very early in the process and continue that today, obviously. With screening stations and doing the screening of individuals coming into our facilities. We test every admit that comes in. We test every high-risk procedure for patients that come in, and a lot of workflow changes there. You know, spacing out our facilities, monitoring and closing certain break rooms so we don't entice folks to get together and relax their guard. A lot of patient education, a lot of continuous education of our workforce, looking at our visitation rules in terms of, you know, that's probably the most difficult thing, you know, trying to protect our healthcare workers, but also recognizing the emotional support that our patients need from their family members and trying to strike that balance and make sure that we've got good practices in place for those that need their loved ones near them, and as well as using technology wherever we can be using technology, like everyone's doing across the country. You know, we're running about 30% of all our outpatient visits are telehealth visits. We do a screening process, pre-visit, and so a lot of those things, but we continue to look at them. Are they being effective? Where do we need to tweak them? And so we've been very successful. You know, we were afforded the opportunity to have good supplies of N95s early on, and we weren't sold that this wasn't an airborne potential, and so we kept droplet precautions and enhanced them from the very get-go, and we were afforded the opportunity because we jumped on trying to acquire the necessary personal protective equipment earlier. So I think I feel very proud about what our team has done, and I think it's our workforce, our physicians as well as our nurses have reacted very positively to it. In fact, I think it's improved our recruitment as well, because the word's out in terms of how we approach this. But it's a daily exercise to look at our data, look at what's working.
Let me ask you another question, then I want to come back to you on this in a second. So California is replete with these magnificent academic medical institutions, whether it's you folks, University of San Francisco, UCLA, Stanford, Scripps System, and more. How do you make sure that you, and California is a huge part of the country, so it makes sense. It's got these magnificent institutions, not to mention the magnificent systems that are different, like Kaiser, but magnificent too in what they do. How does USC stay so special, both it has and will? How does it do that? What's the prescription for staying magnificent and leading in such an area of such great advancement and great other institutions as well? How do you stay very special? And USC has grown to be very special. How do you do that?
I will always talk about two things. Actually, probably three things. I think leadership is key, and having the right leaders in the right seats throughout the organization. I'm blessed by a leadership team that is not satisfied with the status quo and is very engaging, very innovative, very aggressive in terms of change, right, in continuing to improve. So that's, that's just how the phenotype of the folks that we've hired, with a very collaborative approach in terms of how you do that. And that collaboration extends to the second point, and that's around our faculty. I think recruiting the type of faculty that we've been able to attract at Keck Medicine is a real differentiator for us. We've got just superb faculty that get it, if you will, and are very engaged in buying their administrative time to work side by side with the administrators, the leaders that I just referenced, to help drive change and move us in the right direction. And then the third that kind of surrounds all that is a culture. A culture of improvement, a culture of high trust, a culture of collaboration, and a culture of just positive energy. And that's what we attribute. And then there's all the tactics underneath that. But I think those are the three main ingredients for success.
Rod, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It is just a pleasure always to visit with you. You're straight, direct, straightforward, intelligent, and just a pleasure to hear talk about USC and the magnificent Keck Medicine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure, sir.